In 2006, Jamie Twierkowski wrote a story called To Write Love on Her Arms about helping a friend through her struggle with drug addiction, depression, and self-injury. The piece was beautiful, was haunting, and it quickly went viral, giving birth to a nonprofit organization of the same name. 9 years later, To Write Love on Her Arms is a leader in suicide prevention and serves as a source of hope, encouragement, and resources for people worldwide. Now, Jamie's writing is available in book form. The new book is If You Feel Too Much, Thoughts on Things Found and Lost and Hoped For. It is a celebration of hope and wonder and what it ultimately means to be human. Jamie Twierkowski is the founder of To Write Love on Her Arms, a nonprofit movement dedicated to presenting hope and finding help for people struggling with depression, addiction, self-injury, and thoughts of suicide. And we welcome Jamie Twierkowski to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Very nice to have you here. What brought you to put this collection together and ultimately lasso all of these thoughts together and publish them?
You know, the organization was born from a story that I wrote, and, you know, I didn't intend to start a charity. I really just tried to tell a story and with that to try to help a friend back in 2006. And writing has been something that's important to me, and it's become important to the organization. It's really been foundational ever since. And so the book has been a dream for a bunch of years. And in a way, it was such a dream that I kind of put it on the back burner because I didn't want to do it halfway. And so, you know, people have been asking why now, but in my mind, it's really more like it is kind of long overdue. And so I just came to a place of wanting to commit and wanting to see it through. And then just realizing there was so much writing from the last 10 years, even going back before the organization began, so much that I was proud of and wanting it to have a home. And you know, I guess as a writer, a book is the dream for a lot of people and kind of, you know, writing at the highest level. And so today is a really special day.
This book was written, or the story was written, as I mentioned, in 2006 about a friend who was struggling, as I mentioned in the introduction, with addiction and depression and attempted suicide. Your friend was 19 years old. How old were you?
I was 26 at the time.
So give us a sense of how that was, the seeds, and what you learned from that experience.
You know, I think I wrote the story because I had never had an encounter like that. I had never had conversations like that. I think first off, I just felt some things moving around in me, and I didn't want to forget. And I had a friend who I was living with at the time, and his story was one of addiction and recovery. And when I got to know him, he was pursuing his sobriety, and he was someone who had been through treatment. So he was really our leader through the experience. And I was just more of kind of a fly on the wall and trying to provide encouragement, and I ended up writing about the whole thing. But I try to point out that my friend David McKenna was very much our leader. And you know, and then there were lots of growing pains as we tried to get this thing off the ground, because we had such a surprising beginning. We had attention and money coming in before we really knew what we were doing. And thankfully, I was able to come under the umbrella of another nonprofit, and that kind of gave us a big brother that we could learn from. But yeah, there really, on every level, there's been so much to learn over the years.
You were able, basically how this started to grow was your understanding that there were many really good organizations out there that were doing good work. So instead of trying to replace those or duplicate their efforts, what you wanted to be is say, okay, I'm going to be the go-between and help bring people to those places and the good work they do.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. I sometimes sort of joke that we've kind of repainted the door to treatment or to counseling. And, you know, we've learned there's such a disconnect where so many people never take that first step. They never admit the problem. They never admit they need help. A lot of people don't know how to have that conversation. And we get to serve as a bridge to invite people to take that step, to know that it's okay to be honest, to know that they're not alone, and to know that great help exists, that great resources are out there.
When it comes to the challenges that you face, what are the challenges in getting people the help that they need?
You know, I think the biggest one is the stigma. So I think the biggest challenge that you're up against is so many people live alone with their pain, and so many people live with secrets. And one of the amazing things for us over the years, going back to the very beginning, is time and time again, we hear from people who say, I'm talking about this for the first time, I'm asking this question for the first time, I'm sharing this part of my story for the first time. And so we get to kind of push back at that stigma and say that it doesn't have to be that way. You know, if someone has the flu, if they break their arm, if someone is sick with cancer, no one tries to hide those things. No one tries to play it off, and certainly, you know, people don't ignore those things. And we want those ideas to apply to mental health and to addiction, to believe that, you know, our bodies break, our bodies are fragile, and our brain is part of our body.
One of the things, and as I was reading the introduction, and I say that you're talking about depression and addiction and self-injury and thoughts of suicide, and those can be four very different things, right? But you look at them as almost a whole, because they're so often interrelated.
Yeah, I think what we definitely see as kind of the overarching question is just, what do we do with our pain? You know, we all have things we wish were different. We all struggle. We all encounter loss in this life. And how do we respond? How do we cope? Where do we unpack those things? And who do we unpack them with? And I think we relate differently to those words that show up in our mission statement. But I think all of us can relate to pain.
In that relating to pain, that is obviously, at least is the sense I get, I mean, you are trying to help people who are feeling the pain, who need the help. But it's also getting the word out to people who, like you, were around a person who needed help and what actually you could do, what was in your power.
Yeah, and I think for most of us, we'll experience both in this life. You know, we will come to a place where we need help, where we need to talk to someone, and we will also get to be that helper. We'll get to be the person that someone else leans on. And so I try to point out that it's not always these two, you know, very separate camps, but I think it's just part of being alive that we experience both ends of it.
Why do you think so many of us are loath to or concerned about or worried about stigma, that we will not ask for help?
You know, I think growing up, you know, these are things you don't hear a lot about, certainly in a positive light. Sometimes you hear about it when it's too late. But I don't think we grow up seeing or being told or taught that hey, it's okay to talk about these things. You know, so often the people who lead us, maybe even our own parents, they kind of lead from a place of maybe pretending to some degree to have it all together. And so for a lot of us, I think we never see vulnerability. We never see someone admit the struggle, especially in a healthy way. And, you know, I think it's, for a lot of us, it becomes foreign, and it's certainly outside of our comfort zone. And so people, I think, you know, whether consciously or subconsciously, just kind of decide not to go there because they sort of don't know how. And, it, you know, I love to point out, like, it's really simple things that we continue to say over and over again, just trying to let people know, hey, it's okay to go there. It's okay to talk about. And if you need help, it's okay to ask for help. And there's great help that exists.
You have certainly used social media to your benefit of getting the word out, haven't you?
Yeah, you know, we got our start on social media, and it dates me a little bit, but, you know, the story was first posted as a blog on MySpace, and we've been able to kind of make the transition to, you know, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and we've been able to see the best of social media. You hear a lot about the worst and kind of the ignorance that exists online, and I think we're really thankful that we've been able to, you know, see the good. We've been able to watch something kind of make its way around the world. We've heard from people in 100 different countries. So it's really kind of home base for us.
The name of the book is If You Feel Too Much, Thoughts on Things Found and Lost and Hoped For. Jamie Twerkowski, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Best of luck on the great work that you do and for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book, If You Feel Too Much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.